Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
That's some old school headphones.
We have both just had a week, haven't we?
We have had a week, yes.
Now it's a, been a beautiful day, though.
It has.
Beautiful week.
I'm glad it's over. For sure.
Yeah.
Technology's been the bane of my existence this week.
Mine, too.
And yet, the thing I'm also most excited about. Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
Do you see your work and what you do, like, when AI kicks in? Do you have any fear of it being able to do what you do?
Yes and no. I think some of the things that I do are so specific to a site or a property that it can't really be easily replicated on a... I mean, they're just... I don't think it would be... I think it's too niche what I do right now.
It's killer, and we'll open the show, but I've been listening to AI Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty good. Sounds like Nirvana.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's AI?
Yeah.
Oh, like, that's wild.
The music, I mean, the vocals, everything, it's like very Nirvana.
That's wild.
And I mean, they've done that, like, they've done it too. There's an AI Drake.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. Drake would like, collaborate.
I think that the, like, next step is going to be, like, not only with AI, but especially with them, like, developing personalities and stuff, being able to, like, think and do. The way that we've gotten with CGI, I think we're going to have completely computer-generated celebrities that act in movies. So it'd be, like, a crossover between anime and real. And so they would be able to essentially program a celebrity or a character.
You're so right.
Yeah.
But we already do it. Like, think about Tupac. You see the hologram Tupac?
Yeah, but, like, this would be somebody that people, like, follow on Twitter or Instagram. Like, they have a whole persona, and they interact.
Some of them already do.
They just don't show up at, like, red carpets.
Yeah, like, there's a couple of Instagram accounts like that.
I think that...
But it's real big on Twitter, like, and, like... Let's say there's a real controversial political tweet.
Oh, yeah.
And then there are AI bots that mm-hmm. have Twitter accounts. And then, like, a person will be like, I think one of them is Explain This Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just tag them. And then the next thing you know, they'll drop a tweet right underneath yours. And there'll be, like, just some kind of explanation for it. You know?
I think it's going to get to the point where, I don't know if you've seen Black Mirror, but it's always, those episodes on Netflix were always, like, something that's right on the cusp of our technology, like something that's so close to happening. And I feel like it's going to get to the point where it's like the new Kardashian, like, but they're fake. Like, they're people that don't exist, but people, they'll have that level of like a cult following, and people will be like in love with them or worship them, and they're not real, but they could be essentially perfect. Because, I mean, think about these remakes of like Little Mermaid, Lion King, all that. It's all CGI,
it looks
real. Why not have a whole cast that you don't have to pay of these celebrities that are technically perfect?
Yeah,
that people will still watch and fall in love with, and their acting can be flawless because you can program it to do whatever you want.
That's just it.
All you need is a writer. And then at that point, though, do you even need a writer?
Well, that's the weird thing about, you know, the writer strike.
Yes.
We don't have, like, the late shows and, like,
yes.
Even, like, some of the, like,
sitcoms,
Simpsons.
Sitcoms, any of it. Yeah.
I mean, they're all on strike. I mean, I'm glad they're doing it.
Yeah, they deserve it, but...
But, like...
They're very replaceable.
Might be out of a job.
You're very replaceable right now for free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's... I think everything still is going to need that human element for the time being. I think you'll be able to kind of see the glitches between generated and human, but... I mean, it's right there. It's right there between knowing us enough that it can pick up on nuances and slang. I mean, I think that human element is the only thing separating us.
Let's pick this up. Welcome, everybody, to Porch Salt. This is your host, Alan. As you've heard her, I have Lauren back.
Yes.
And I'm excited for... We're going to get back to AI, but midwife crisis is going to be a thing. Yes. I have seen the design.
Yes, and thanks to Alan for giving me the push that I need to get it going. Kudos to you, buddy.
This is going to be like my fifth or sixth podcast that I'm going to help get off the ground. I could not be happier.
The Podfather.
Yeah, dude. And they're all so different.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure this is nothing like... anything that
I think you're gonna be great, and I have not met your friend Ashley, but I'm excited for it. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, and she is excited. I told her, I said, you know, once we get going and everything, we're gonna have to have Alan on the podcast because he's responsible. She was like, let's do it.
It's two midwives and the ex-husband.
Yes. Bless it. Are you an ex-husband?
I am.
I didn't know that.
There's a lot of things.
I'm a first wife. She is a divorced, remarried, and now you're an ex-husband. We're just a blended, perfect little family.
Who knows what we could get into?
I know. I tell Beau all the time he's making a perfect first husband, but my second one's going to be just loaded. Loaded down with money and cancer. Just ready to go.
Yeah, dude. That's the dream. Any sugar mamas out there, hit me up.
Y'all, please do.
I'm a sweetheart.
Yes, hit the Podfather up. He is ready to go.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. Man, you could... I'm cheap, too, man. I like hot dogs. I like bologna sandwiches.
He likes regular beer. Sometimes you can treat him to a craft beer, but my man, he's ready to go. Always ready to go out, too.
I've so many wonderful things have happened since I started this podcast.
That's awesome.
The job that I currently have, a lot of the friends that I have, Munson Brothers, mm-hmm. a lot of the musicians and comedians that I've met through the podcast. And
Man Up,
that was through. And that was like meeting Jake or even Ryan Munson from Munson Bros. Mm-hmm. Was like mutual friend. Matter of fact, it was the same one. Shout out Leslie. She told me about Munson Brothers because I love beards. I love having one. And she's like, there is literally a beard apothecary in town. And I think he would be great for your podcast.
You know who looks good without a beard?
Who?
Women.
I agree.
Other than that?
I totally agree.
Men need beards.
Beard
fish me all day long. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. And then, once again, Leslie, she tells me about Jake. She's like, my son trains at Relentless, and it's been great for him. I mean, kind of like, you know, like what you say about your daughter.
Yeah.
Like with her, it's a good way for them to unload all that energy.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that's another thing is, like, just because a kid is hyperactive, I don't think we give them Adderall.
Same. Keep them busy.
Let them be a kid.
Yeah. We institutionalize them all day. Let them go freaking nuts from the time school's out till you get home and go to bed. Just... I can't personally watch you while you do it, but I am happy to take you to activities and keep you well entertained.
Yeah.
Just I can't personally entertain you.
Have you been enjoying and have you been taking her to see these new Disney live action films?
We don't do a lot of the movie theater here only because it's the movie theater here, but she's been to a couple of movies. We liked Jungle Book and we liked Lion King, and the second time we watched Aladdin we liked it. I don't know, the first time just didn't hit for me. I think you got to get out of what you're expecting from the nostalgia from the first one to be able to accept the second
one. I don't
even
mess with them. Like I can't touch it.
I know.
It's just like, yeah, it's I know what they're doing. They're just, hey, 90s kids. Hey,
it's like, a money grab.
Yeah, it's money. It's like, we're playing with your nostalgia, and now you have kids, and now you get to experience this again, live action, with your kid. And
but that, cool. I mean, they did add certain things to, like, Aladdin and Lion King and Jungle Book that was kind of cool. I mean, they changed it a little bit, but my husband said that he watched Mulan with her and that it was garbage. He was like, I hated it. And we love Mulan, so it was, I mean...
Oh, the cartoon, it was a banger.
I know, and I'm scared to watch Little Mermaid now, because if you were an 80s kid like I was, like late 80s going into the 90s kid, and you were a girl...
Oh, Little Mermaid was it.
Little Mermaid was the jam. I mean, that was our Frozen. We went off on Little Mermaid. I can still sing every word to every bit of it. And so to see it... And I don't even care that they changed the girl. I don't care about any of that, but I saw...
I kind
of
do.
See, I don't, but I saw pictures of...
For one reason, and this is a joke, people, of gingers. We are the minority of the planet, and in Hollywood, in these films, we're all being replaced. And, like, be true to form. Like, I don't care about the replacement. It that literally doesn't bother me, except when it comes to gingers. It's like, you took Annie from us.
Oh, that was my jam.
You take Ariel.
My dream role would be to play Miss Hannigan in any performance, anywhere. God, I loved it. But I saw Flounder, and I felt some type of way. I was like, that looks just eerie. Like, it didn't look right. It didn't look like the cuddly, fluffy Flounder, little coward that we have. It reminded me like of a pudgy little boy in the cartoons. And this Flounder looks like a real... like. That was the most off-putting thing to me in the previews that made me...
I haven't really watched a lot of the previews. I guess I need to. I haven't even thought about, like, some of the fish and the seagull.
It was weird. So, I don't know. I don't know about this one. And I think CGI still underwater is kind of hit or miss.
Avatar did it.
I haven't seen it yet.
The new one?
I want to.
My nephew, he's finally old enough to where he can enjoy... movies. Shout out, Bub, if you're out there listening in the internet. But he wanted to go see the new Avatar, and like when the first one came out, I don't even think he was born.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember the first Avatar was like the big flex for CGI. Like, that was their thing. This is going to be groundbreaking. We're using CGI. And
it's,
I remember,
3D, too.
Yeah. That's the first time I ever had a headache from a 3D movie. and cool. But I remember the story didn't really go anywhere, and it was kind of it was boring, but it was like exciting to see because you had never seen anything like that, but like the story itself was kind of lacking. But with the new one, although it is 3 hours of great pace, the action's always there. I'm not the biggest action Jackson guy. I like comedy movies. I like dramas and I like thrillers.
Those
are my three jams when it comes to film. And I like documentaries, too. But he wanted to go see it. And I was like, yeah, dude, it's dope. Me and my brother and you, let's all go to the movies. We'll go to the IMAX. Great movie. We all had a great time. And I was scared I was going to fall asleep. But I didn't.
Dude, we went to Disney in September and went to Pandora. Like, when we went the first time, when Brooklyn was... My oldest daughter's 17, and she was probably like 11 or 12 the first time we went. But they finished Pandora, and we've been since they opened Pandora and got to ride, like, the rides where you're on the little fly deal, like, the dragon situation's back, and you, like, I mean, it has smells at you. It spits, like, water at you. Like, it's, like, legit. And it was... I mean, it was awesome.
Oh, that is dope. I went to Universal, and it was the first time, like, riding those inside rides. Mm-hmm. I don't even think you're moved. It's just, like, it's moving.
Yes.
And you have different, like, I was kind of mind-boggled, really. Mm-hmm. And I'm easy to confuse, and I was very confused. And, it was just a blast, man, like, Spider-Man ride, and then, you know, they got the Hulk and the real rides, which I do enjoy, but Those CGI rides are nice. You get to wait inside. You don't have to wait outside in a hot line.
Oh, and they do, like, the whole deal. Like, the whole line is, like, going through a lab. And so it's like the lab in the movie. You see, like, the body, like, Jake laying there. And then you see the his avatar in the little chamber where it's, like, being grown.
Oh, that's banging.
Like, they don't spare any expense or attention to detail. It
Harry
is
Potter
so
World is
cool.
Banging. If you ever been to Universal,
no,
dude,
I haven't been to Universal.
So
I'm like the most motion sick person ever. So when we go to Disney, I have to have like a Dramamine tablet as well as like a patch that the doctor gives me behind my ear to be able to ride anything.
So what about like seasickness? Can you get out on a boat?
It depends on the boat. Like, if we're on, like, the river or the reservoir, yes. If we're going deep sea fishing and it's, like, sloshing the whole time, no.
Mm.
Like, I can move, but I can't sit and, like, rock.
What about airplanes?
Airplanes, ironically, don't bother me, but they give me anxiety now that I've had kids. Flying since I've had kids, I'm like, well, we're going to crash and we're going to die. And it started when I was pregnant. And I took the flight from Tupelo to Nashville. And at the time, I could have, like, stroked the pilot's hair. That's how small the plane was. And I don't like that. That's not for me. It felt like I was flying on the back of an eagle. And I remember just sitting there, pregnant, quietly sobbing with my eyes closed, surrounded by people I work with.
Oh, no.
And I don't like to cry, let alone in front of people. And there's a mirror where they can, like, see me, and I can see them. So I just keep my eyes closed and quietly, like, shake and sob the whole time. And I was like, I'm done. I'm done with this flight. I'm done with flying. And I've flown since. And for some reason, if we're all four together, I don't care. I don't care if we all four die. I just don't want to die by myself and Beau raised the kids with some girl named Cinnamon, who's, like, 22, and he's putting through college while she works at the Pony. That's just not the journey that I'm on.
Right. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That last bit, that's funny. That caught me off guard. Cinnamon.
Yes. I'm just helping put her through college.
Nice.
That's all.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Cinnamon. Oh.
Yeah. Stay away from my kids.
Yeah, and I know you're out there, but stay away for now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just one plane right away from
mm-hmm.
this. First time that I flew in a plane was when I was scouting University of Mobile to go back to college. I had got a trade at Shelton State in industrial electronics, little associates, and was working in that field. Got the hookup.
Mm-hmm.
Electric Motors here in town, mm-hmm. owned by the Davises. Love those guys, good people. They called Shelton State. They were excited about the program, and they was like, send us your brightest, and it's a plus if he's already in this area.
Right.
And my name came up. And I was right when I left the doors of college, I was walking in the doors of work, and my professor, who was over the department, he called me in his office. He's like, this literally never happens, so congratulations. He's like, most of our people will join like the internship at like Mercedes, and all they do at Mercedes is just take advantage of you. They'll never hire you. It's a one-year internship.
Oh, yeah.
They get what they want out of you, and then they release you.
Oh, yeah. And don't pay you.
Yeah. And he's like, you got a legit job. Good for you, dude.
Yeah.
Glad we could hook you up. And I was working in that field for about a year, and this is when Christ would come back into my life. I was really unhappy because mm-hmm. I went to trade school, and I was working in this trade, and I thought it was going to fulfill me.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a God-sized hole in my heart that
yeah.
there was no fulfillment. And I was looking, you know, different things, trying to find that fulfillment. Couldn't find it. And recently had gotten back involved with church, and Christ was coming back into my life. And I wanted to learn more about missions and the Bible. And so I wanted to go to a private Christian college.
Mm-hmm.
And so he actually flew Ronald Reagan in a helicopter. That like he was Reagan's guy. He was a member at the church at the time. He was a colonel in the Air Force, Colonel Hildreth, and he had a little 4-seater plane.
No, thank you.
And it was the most fun I ever had in my life. It was like typically from this area, it takes four and a half hours to get to Mobile.
Took you like 15 minutes.
No, it was like a little, like, it was like around an hour. And the whole time it felt like I was on a roller coaster. I love roller coasters. And I was like, man, this is awesome. And I flew in the St. Elmo's little private airport right outside of Mobile. Taxied in over to the school. Got to meet everybody, all the professors, everybody in the department. I liked it. And boom, moved to Mobile.
I would have literally had to be sedated to ride a four-seater plane.
Oh, and like to talk about the elements, on the way back, because we had to leave because there was a chance of rain. And he's like, I don't fly in storms because we're going to be up in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, respect. And there happened to be like this huge bonfire on our way back. And he was like, Alan, I want to show you just how powerful fire is.
Mm-hmm.
And when he started flying close to the fire,
mm-hmm.
like, we had turbulence.
That's wild.
Yeah, that plane was shaking, dude. And I was like, this is insane. He's like, yeah, fire literally can create its own weather.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tupelo apparently doesn't feel the same way as the good Colonel did, because we landed one time when it was on that old Touch Your Pilot plane, and we landed sideways. He kind of rolls down the window, which, by the way, you should never be in a plane if you can roll down your window. That's just too small.
I agree with that.
And starts cussing out the people on the ground. I told y'all this was a problem, blah, 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 like cussing them out. Meanwhile, I'm in a whole state in the back, just like, I'm never doing this again. I'm never doing this again. I live in Nashville now. That's it. Like, I'm never going home if this is the only way to get home. Send my things. I had an existential crisis every time I flew that plane until they got the bigger plane that they're on now. It was hell on earth. That's all I can equate it to.
I guess that's kind of like the lead-in, I guess, to tie the story of Mobile. After I finished that degree at the University of Mobile, my grandfather passed while I was there. He was like my hero, man.
He
practically raised me. And his wife, my grandmother, she's now passed, but every time I would go home, she was just struggling with his passing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been going through my divorce for about 6 months. And I was just like, why am I still down here? Like, my family is in North Alabama, passing away slowly, and I am just staying in Mobile for what? I'm going to go back home and be with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, through that, I guess I wouldn't call it an existential crisis, maybe a quarter-life crisis, something to that effect. But Porch Talk was born.
Nice.
I didn't even know what I know Joe Rogan had been around for a while, but I wasn't even aware of podcasts. I didn't listen to them. I didn't know anything about them. And like I told you, we literally recorded like 10, 15 episodes of Porch Talk before I was actually satisfied
mm-hmm.
with it. Before I finally pulled the trigger and like ended up being like one of the greatest things that I've ever done.
That's awesome. I know that everybody talks about Joe Rogan as like, you know, the biggest podcaster.
He's the godfather of it.
Everybody talks about that.
First in, best dressed.
But my introduction into podcasts was honestly Kevin Smith. He had a whole network called Smodcast. And him and Jay and Silent Bob, for those of you that don't know, had a podcast together where they kind of, they've known each other since they were kids, but kind of went through Jay's addiction and like how he... Basically, Kevin had to basically write him off for a while because he just put himself so far down the addiction rabbit hole that Kevin was like, I cannot do this anymore. You're gonna die, and it's gonna be partly my fault. And so he had a podcast with Jay, and he had a podcast with his wife, and then he had a couple others with like guys he owned a comic book store. And that was honestly my foray into podcasts. That's how I got into even knowing what podcasts were.
Yeah, I really walked into it blind.
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't even know, the idea, the origin of it, I was sitting on a porch with a friend. We didn't even go to high school together, but we were friends in high school. I went to South Lamar, he went to New Hope
mm-hmm.
here in town. And we always hung out. And I hadn't seen him in like 6-7 years. And I hit him up when I got back. I was like, dude, I'm back. Let's kick it. And we would hang out on his porch, talk just like this,
mm-hmm.
catching up. And then when we were done, we would bring a guitar out and be like, I've been working on this. Check this song out. maybe you could help me finish this. I've got a little tangle. And after we had done that like 5 or 6 times, I was like, I don't think anything like this exists on the internet. I'm going to give this a go.
Yes.
And here we are.
That's awesome. I've always wished I could play an instrument. That would be so cool. Especially like the guitar, like the violin. Like I've always sang, but I've never been instrumental.
You a bit of a songbird?
When it comes to like stabbing your ears or being like Adele, I'm somewhere in the middle of that. So
pretty big range.
Pretty big range.
Shout out to you.
I would never say that I was.
Would you like to give us a little Acapulco right now?
You know, as much as I would like to, I don't want your podcast to get like blown up with like offers for me. So I'm doing that for you.
Wow, thank you.
I know. I'm being very, very gracious right now.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, because I don't want people like, oh, how do I get in touch with her? You know, I'm trying to sign her. You know, so I'm going to save that.
As a matter of fact, we'll front this. If you're interested, I'll be your agent.
There we go.
So you can come through me, and, you know, I'm going to be a good agent. Like, you know, I'll do, instead of 10%, I'll do 1%.
I don't know how much either of us would make if you were only making 1%.
It's got to be better than right now, surely.
It's got to be.
Man, this guy is tripping me out.
He is a character. For those of you who can't see, because we're not on video, my neighbor is quite a character. Him and his wife are always outside doing some type of thing with their weeds, and he cannot seem to get this sprinkler just exactly the way he wants it, so he's having quite the time with it while she supervises.
I'm trying not to look, but good description.
Thank you.
You painted that image perfectly. You think he's like looking over here at us and thinking the same thing?
He probably wonders what's going on. I'm surprised he hasn't like walked over and been like, "What you guys up to?" And
that'd be pretty dope.
My husband would be like, "Get off our yard."
Oh, dude, yeah. Get some neighborhood violence.
Well, I mean, it is Columbus.
Hey, speaking of like you mentioned, like Silent J's or Silent Bob, I guess it would have been.
Yeah.
His drug addiction. Did you see like the Bam Margera is just on one?
Dude. I mean, it's so sad, especially after, like, Ryan Dunn and everything died.
He hasn't been right since. And I went and watched the new Jackass.
I haven't.
And, you know, like, he wasn't really in there at all. Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't let him because of his addiction.
Yeah. And then he didn't want them to do the in memory of Dunn. But, they did it anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, why wouldn't you?
Well, he doesn't have ownership of that.
Right.
And I hate it because he's got a son. And, like, you can see the way his son lights up when he, like, gets to see his dad. But it's obviously few and far between. But if you watched, like, any of the reality shows that he had, I mean, he was always bad off. It was just entertaining at the time because we didn't know what addiction looked like and how bad it really was. But then you see people like Steve-O get sober and talk about it.
And still do Jackass?
Yeah, and be like, we were such a mess. We were such a mess.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, every time I see, like, and it's coming to a point to where it's, like, getting about to be once a month where, like, he's coming up and, like, and this is tabloid garbage, but mm-hmm. It's like, man, Bam, I just wish the best for you. Because, I mean, as a teenager, watching Viva La Bam, funny, Jackass.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Wild Boys?
Oh, yeah.
Chris
That's
Pontius.
That's where it started. And, yeah. Oh, Chris Pontius was my, for that era, he was, like, the pinnacle of my crush, like, that was it for me.
And, you know, that was, we were coming through MTV, and this one thing I miss about music television was when they played music, but I did not mind that portion of MTV they were doing, like, all this reality.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where it was born, really.
We've done several episodes on this to where we had, like, 4 or 5 of my friends, and we all grew up watching it.
Yeah.
And, like, literally coined this term, TM trademark. Calling ourselves the Jackass generation.
Yeah.
We were raised by idiots, and therefore, you know, the little pre-label was like, done by professionals, do not try at home. They knew everybody and their mother was doing it.
I mean, and think about who Mom and Dad were. Mom and Dad were Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne, because they had, like, the first reality show on there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're growing up with the Osbournes, Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson. I mean, all those.
Never was into that
Laguna
one.
Beach, The Hills.
Nick Lachey, was that is that Backstreet or is that
NSYNC? No, he was 98 Degrees.
Shout out, dude. I've been on that lately.
Yes. Yes, 98 degrees. Him, his brother, and two other dudes. They were a little bit older than Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, which was like my jam. But they were around the same time.
So it was Aaron and Nick Carter. That was...
Aaron Carter was the younger brother of Nick Carter, who was in the Backstreet Boys. Aaron is the one who just died. He OD'd in his bathtub.
Yeah.
But he went, like, off the deep end. Like, would say all this stuff about his family and how Nick was a rape person who assaults women. And, like, just all this sort of... Like, he just went far down the rabbit hole, got his face all tattooed up. So you never knew if, like, what he was saying was real or if it was the addiction talking and he was trying to stay relevant. Like, it was tough. Like,
yeah.
And they keep giving these people a platform, just like they keep giving Bam a platform. And then when they're dead, everybody's like, oh, we feel so sorry for them, blah, blah, blah. No, you're still trying to profit off their memory when really you gave them the platform to kill themselves.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's a heavy hitter right now. And you see that all the time. But I couldn't imagine, and it's always like these, you know, you think about Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake. God. Well, they all were like Disney kids, right?
Oh, yeah. And Christina, so, Britney, yeah. Ryan Gosling, who was in The Notebook. He was a
shout out to the new Barbie. He's in
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Little Margot Robbie.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you. Not going to watch it in theaters, but I might check that out.
Let it hit streaming.
Yeah.
Let it hit streaming.
Let that thing go.
I mean, it's a, God, what's... Is it a Coppola movie or no? Greta Gerwig. It's a Greta Gerwig movie.
She does good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She does.
So I think they're probably going to have like a more serious take on it because one of the previews I saw.
Well, she's got to leave Barbie Land and go.
They're
to the
like
real world.
Dancing, yeah. And Barbie's like, "Do y'all ever think about dying?" And everybody looks at her and is like, "Wait, what?" So I think
that's
like,
the whole premise of the film, right? Getting out of Barbie world.
I think,
going
yeah,
to reality.
I think like she, yeah, I think she kind of has like.
They
an
say that they use
Barbie
so
crisis.
Much pink paint. With the set that they actually created a scarcity.
Oh, that's not surprising. That's wild. But I think it'll be cool. It'll be very nostalgic for somebody like me who grew up with like Barbie addiction. Like
oh,
that
you had
was
that?
The jam. Oh yeah. Like
I figured you was
kind
of like more
Barbies.
Of like a tomboy.
Oh, I mean, I played sports and stuff, but like, it was gonna be in like a princess dress or.
It's like, kind of like your daughter showing up to
yes.
Relentless in the dress.
Yes, yes. She will do karate, or not karate, sorry, Jake. She will do mixed martial arts and Brazilian jiu-jitsu in a princess dress if you'd let her. She doesn't care. Like, she's...
That's her gi.
Wild as Cooter Brown, yeah. And so...
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out. But, yeah, no, that was very much me. I had an older brother who was, like, my hero, and so... I was into, like, Star Wars and Ninja Turtles and all that. But, like, if I had a birthday cake, it had Ninja Turtles on one side and Barbie on the other. It was...
Oh, you was extra.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, we did it. We did the whole thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want to hop back to AI just for a second because, like...
Let's do it.
We could probably go for days on that, but...
Like AI.
Yeah. But I think, like... And we did a whole... You know, I had Farouk and Barty, their... One's an astronomer, the other one's a quantum mm-hmm. physicist. And, like, they both are using it in their field. And that was, like, I think I made the comment on and off the air is, like, I think a lot of what people are so afraid of with AI is the people they thought it was going to replace, such as, like, factory workers mm-hmm. or even truck drivers, they're not going anywhere. It's the more of the white collar jobs.
Oh yeah, the creatives also. Like my husband, he is, bless his heart, he is works with his hands, blue collar, grew up in steel, always gonna be in a job where he works with his hands because that's where he thrives. You know, we talked about this recently. It was like, you know, do you think that computers are gonna take your job? And he's like, Lauren, somebody has to run the computers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, because he used to work in a business here I'm not going to name, but they had horrible turnover. They had horrible problems with employees. And basically, if they would just upgrade the machines, they could eliminate half their workforce that they had problems with. But at the same time, you still have to have somebody very skilled to run the machine. And like what we were talking about with the writers, well, you don't really need them to the extent that you have them. You need somebody to proofread and make and give the human element to what the AI writes.
It's so crazy. Like, I'm seeing, like, college and high school, like, especially in English, to where you have to write a paper.
Mm-hmm.
That is going into the syllabus now. You cannot use ChatGPT to write your paper. And I was like, bull crap, dude.
Well, what they're saying, because my work actually just did, we call them tool talks, a tool talk on that this week. And what they're saying is write the paper yourself and have ChatGPT or AI proof it, because they're developing processors that can tell if AI completely wrote it. But what you can do is give the human element to it, let ChatGPT or one of those systems
proof it. You can give it a soul.
Yes. And so is it cheating? I don't know. It's a gray area because, I mean, like, I guess when calculators first started, you could say, is that cheating?
I mean,
it's basically AI negative 1.0.
And I'm actually for this. Like, some of the comedy shows that I go to, and I've even been to, like, to musicians, especially, like, maybe a Jack White,
mm-hmm.
or someone who's, like, I consider to be an absolute force in their field.
Mm-hmm.
You go to their show, like, take Dave Chappelle and comedy, or, like, literally every comedian does this. Mm-hmm. Like, every comedian show I've been to, yeah, you can have your phone, but we're going to put it in this package.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't access it until after the show.
Kevin Hart does that.
Yeah, I mean, they all do
it. And he's real serious about it.
Because I think about that is, let's say you kick your tour off, and let's just say in the Pacific Northwest, like, you're kicking off in Seattle. Some jackass records the whole thing, puts it online. That takes the value of the content away from him to where if I was planning on seeing him in Birmingham, I've already seen it.
Well, not only that, the ones who are filming Netflix or HBO specials, at certain stops, they're workshopping their material still. They're not, they don't have it 100% to where they're going to be. So if you go ahead and blow the joke, oh, there's my cat, Timothy Chalamet, because he's the most beautiful boy in the world.
Great name.
Like I know, that. Thank you. I have human names for all my stuff. But if you take a joke before it's ready, and people are like, oh, Dave Chappelle's so funny, blah, blah, blah. This is what he said. Well, now it's not usable. And it wasn't even where you wanted it to be by the mm-hmm. time it got to your special. Mm-hmm. And so it's too much access. It's just too much access.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you go to the concert and someone is recording the entire thing on their Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my thing is I just want to touch them on the shoulder and be like, you ever thought about just, like, being in the moment?
And that's one of the things. It's like I was so torn at Taylor Swift. It's like I wanted to have the memories and still have the content. So I was like, I wish I had gone twice in a row, if I could have afforded it, and done one where I record us, at, like, us dancing and singing and having fun and her. And then one where I don't even take my phone and just live in it.
Well, granted, I mean, I'm sure you didn't post all the pictures and videos.
No, but, God.
But the ones that I did see, like, it was pre-show, and you had a couple, like, during the show. And I think you did a pretty good job of capturing that. And, you know, just as a friend, and, like, it's one thing I do like about social media. I consider posts like that to be incredibly wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, you and the girls, y'all had a great time. I like to see that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I try to do.
But one thing, and another thing that I like, and a lot of people do this, is let's say you take my small town, Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And most people in Kennedy operate this way. Let's say you're going on vacation next week.
I'm leaving Sunday. It's not.
Well, I wouldn't ask you personally.
No.
I'm just saying, like, hypothetically. Like, yeah. You're going on vacation next week. Okay, so. Do not post pictures of you being at the beach while you're at the beach. Wait till you get back, because, like, if there's someone that you're friends with on social media, they're at the beach, I'm going to go see what's at your house that I want.
Not only that, let me break you down on this one that I recently found out about. If I'm posting pictures of my kids at the beach, I'm making a virtual menu for predators.
Yes, you are.
Never had thought about that. So if I'm at the beach and I post pictures, I never tag where we're at while we're there, because I recently read about that or saw it in a podcast or something. Like, you're making basically a tasting menu for a predator to come snatch your kid up. Oh, I want a curly-headed blonde. Let me come get yours. Because Who's not paying attention to 1,000%? A lot of parents at the beach. I mean, you're on vacation. Oh, you're having a good time.
This happened in Mississippi, and it shook me to my core, man. It was like a mom, and I think she had two kids, and she was like, another adult was there. Maybe they were having lunch with like an aunt or maybe just a family friend. Mm-hmm. And this dude just walks up and grabs the little daughter by the hand and starts leading her out. And thank God, like, people like stood up and be like, no, yeah, no. And he was...
People are bold.
Yeah, bold. And they're getting bolder.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, sadly, my oldest would have freaked out at that. My youngest would have been like, where are we going? She, like, unless you were threatening about it,
I mean, it used to be a joke, right? Like, and our parents used to tell us this. It's like, you know, the van, right?
Yeah.
Or don't take candy from strangers. But now, like, our lives are also lived on social media. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what portion of yourself that you give to the internet,
mm-hmm.
one, it's always there. Mm-hmm. And two, like, people are preying on it.
If my kids are featured in something, it's usually on my Facebook or my Instagram, and those are both set to private. I don't put them on my Snapchat or my Instagram. Like, if it's a public forum, I don't put my kids on it, especially my youngest, because she is, and this sounds horrible, but she's the most marketable looking child. She's a blonde-headed, blue-eyed, curly-head. I'm like, she is, like, she's the pinnacle of what would be wanted in a terrible community. Mm-hmm. And that's awful to even have to think about. But, like, when we're at Disney, when we're at the beach, I'm like, she would go for top dollar. And it's sad that we have to think about that.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're doing some pretty good PSAs here.
Watch your kids, people.
Slavery is more prevalent and bigger than it ever was.
Oh, God, especially slavery.
Sex slavery and child slavery. And there are whistleblowers and there are people that are bold enough to make the videos where people can get involved and change that. When I was living in Mobile, I can say this now, I'm no longer a part of it, but I-10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
You know, mm-hmm. and from Pensacola to New Orleans, and this happened to be, like, I'm not going to name them, but it's well known. It was two players in the NFL that played for a particular team mm-hmm. on that I-10. They were the ones running that sex slavery racket.
That's wild. That's wild.
And so, like, the organization that I was working with,
mm-hmm.
we were a big part of that getting busted up.
That's awesome. Like, there's nothing I hate worse. Like, there's like,
it is so dangerous. It's grimy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you thought the mafia was bad during, like, Prohibition and mm-hmm. stuff like that? Dude, there is nothing more heinous, grotesque than people involved in sex slavery or child slavery.
Oh, yeah. There's celebrities like Ashton Kutcher and a few.
He speaks out.
He's huge on it. Like, and he's like, you can't unsee some of the things that I've seen, because he's been on, like, task forces and other groups where he's actually had to see some of the material, and he's like, mm-hmm. you can't unsee that. Like, and I salute those people, because I couldn't do it. There's people who dig through that type of footage online and in the dark web and put a stop to it, but, like, it has to take chunks of your soul, and, like,
it absolutely does.
I mean, has to.
And you are visibly scarred for life. Like, some of the things that I've seen, I have nightmares about.
Oh, yeah. And some of these detectives and stuff, like, the stuff that they roll up on, and just, it's part of their everyday life, and then they have to go home and be with their wives and their families and their children, and it's just like, you literally just saw a dead child's body, and you have to turn that off and be with your family and be a normal human. Like, thank God certain people are wired that way, because it would literally destroy me.
I mean, and that's one thing, like Porch Talk does this. Anytime that we do events, or, like, we did the open mic that I host at Munson Bros,
mm-hmm.
or if like when I throw a music festival, it's not for profit. Like proceeds that I do get, it's going to go to a cause, and it's typically because we live on Tornado Alley. Like I give to families who have been affected by tornadoes to help put their lives back together, or it goes to busting up sex and child slavery.
That's awesome.
I mean, and that, because it's a mission.
Yes.
And like, it's getting worse though. And like, with all these people who are getting on board and all these people who are like, man, I've heard the message, I want to get involved, what can I do? You know, I got a family, I got work, I can't like be involved, but I can give to the cause. So I'm also very thankful for people like that.
Yeah, for sure. Because it takes all sorts. I mean, not everybody can be financially, like a financial backer, but at the same time, not everybody could be somebody who gets in the thick of it.
And you also can pray.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a big thing that you can do. What's up, kitty cat?
That's Jeffrey.
How many cats you got?
I say I have 2.5, and it started with Tux, my man Tuxedo Jones. And when I had Rivers, I was doing the whole new mom thing, and he got in the dryer and he pooped on her new clothes. And I was like, well, buddy, you live outside now. This is your life. You live outside now. I hate it for you, but this is what happens. And so about a month later, I'm outside and I'm petting what I think is Tux. And Tux walks up. And that's how old Jeffrey the stud here was born. We ended up with 2 cats. And my husband said, you didn't know we had that cat? And I said, no, sure didn't. Sure did not know that we had this look-alike cat. And then there's been a few strays since then, but Timothy Chalamet showed up as a kitten a few months ago. Can't touch him. That's why I say 2.5. You cannot touch him, but he will eat your food. And he's excited to do that.
Just a straight up...
He's a gangster.
He's a hole for
the
food.
But he's the most beautiful boy in the world. So that's why. No, that's Tux. He's kind of busted looking.
Okay.
Bless him.
He's a very lovable guy, Jeffrey, there. I'm for it, man. One thing I do not like, and I don't want no part of, and there will probably be countries and places on this earth that I will never see because of my fear of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan of man-eating tigers.
Oh, God, no.
But, I mean, even here, like, and my brother swears by it, like, we've got a fair amount of land in Alabama, and,
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
My brother tends to it and hunts it. And like, we got friends from all over. Because it's guaranteed, like, if you come hunt on our property, you're going to kill a buck. Or you're going to get a, if you want a doe, you know, you're gonna get whatever you want.
Very popular during deer season.
My phone is very, it rings a lot.
Hey, man.
Yeah, let me come by and hunt.
What you been up to?
Uh-huh. Hey, buddy.
I hadn't talked to you in about a year.
Same thing with football season. Like, we're season ticket holders Alabama.
Hey, Alan.
I heard you got them good seats,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, just wondering how your mom and them been doing.
I bet you are. So, up in the tree stand, like, he swears that I saw and heard a panther. And I was like, well, that tells me one thing. I'm not going back there. Like, that is literally a fear of mine. It's like, they're quiet. And when they do their little whatever, it is.
It's over. It's over by the time they do like, that.
I remember being a teenager and we were camping. And the coyotes started howling. That didn't bother me. But then I heard, like, maybe panther, maybe mountain lion. I heard that thing do its little call, and I called my grandma, and I was like, come pick me up. I'm done with this.
I think I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. And, you know, all my friends, how's a pussy? Yes.
And you're like, yes, I am.
Yes.
And guess what? Grandma's going to make me some cornbread when we get back to the house, and we're going to have a lovely time.
We had breakfast
She's in her
for
moo-moo,
supper.
And we had breakfast for supper, and we watched Days of Our Lives, and y'all are going to die in the woods, and I don't care.
Love my grandma, dude.
I did. Oh, God.
She was
the
one that introduced me to Lord of the Rings, which
that's hilarious.
Which is forever like my favorite fantasy.
Yeah.
Love that book. But she introduced, like, we watched Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, the first of the trilogy together. And that led me down the best rabbit hole. I picked up J.R.R. Tolkien's writings, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings,
oh, yeah.
Silmarillion, all the history of Middle-earth. And then... then when I found out that C.S. Lewis and him were buddies,
mm-hmm.
that led me to C.S. Lewis with, I think my favorite, I like Screwtape Letters, Surprised by Joy is probably my favorite work, but also you had Chronicles of Narnia.
I was going to say, didn't he do Chronicles of Narnia?
He also had, like,
hot.
Lesser known mm-hmm. is Escape from the Silent Planet.
I don't know that one.
It's not as big, and I will say it's not as good as Chronicles of Narnia, but if you like fantasy... and it's kind of sci-fi, like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It is worth a read. And the main difference between those two cats is, like, Tolkien gave his whole life to Middle-earth. He was a world builder.
Mm-hmm.
And then C.S. Lewis gave you not only, like, theological work when it came to, like, personal writing, such as Screwtape Letters, when it's talking about, like, he's taking on the persona of a demon and how to keep humanity engaged with themselves instead of filling that God-sized
wow.
hole.
Oh, wow.
It's like, this is how you distract them.
Oh, wow.
And it really, like, to read it today,
yeah,
like, it does describe social media in a sense to that.
Ooh,
and
I'm going to have to read that.
Screwtape Letters, yeah. Like, the lesser demon is Screwtape, and he's writing his elder demon,
mm-hmm.
and, like, looking for advice to better antagonize his human.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, it is a great write, if you're into that thing, and, like, a lot of people like blowing that off, is like, but if you believe in the angelic, or if you believe in God, if you believe in good, you have to believe evil.
Have to, yeah.
Like, if there's one, there is the other.
Exactly.
And a lot
and
of people...
just because you don't believe in them doesn't mean they don't believe in you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't listen to anything. I say listen because I do mainly audiobooks. I don't want to read or listen to anything that I could write myself, basically. And I mean that in the sense of, like, I don't want to read any of the Colleen Hoovers or the... Boardhouse wives who write about the man having an affair with the neighbor and blah, 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 blah. No. If it's something I could write about my own life, I don't want to read it. I love fantasy. I love, like,
that's my jam too,
fae
dude.
Books, some type of magic,
mm-hmm.
like some sort of, like, power situation. All that's my jam.
I'm working on two books right now.
That's awesome.
One is a fantasy, and it's mm-hmm. going to be kind of like, I hope maybe to be a trilogy. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to write the first one and just kind of see. Probably be like most things that I do, like with the Porch Talk record. I had 300 copies made, and I've got less than 100 left to
mm-hmm.
get off of. And so I consider that to be a success.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be very niche.
Mm-hmm.
I knew not everybody was going to be into it. That's fine. Same with the fantasy. And then the other one is just kind of like a personal... I wrote the first chapter to completion, and right now I'm letting some people proof it. But first chapter, and I don't know what
I'd
I'm
love
gonna,
to proof it.
I don't know what I'm going to call it yet, but the first chapter was... It's just on suffering.
Yeah.
And pain.
Yeah.
And like...
Now, I do like memoirs. I love memoirs.
And like, it's not... I do go into some personal things.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's coming at an approach to where, like, all the suffering, all the pain, whether physical, mental, emotional, all of those things is, I'm very sad, and it sucks that it happened to you,
mm-hmm.
but those are your greatest triumphs when you overcome it, especially when you, it don't take you but one time to put your hand on a hot stove. So, sometimes we need pain.
Yeah.
Like, it's lessons, it's life. And, yeah, like you said, a memoir. And it's like, just like that, and that book is like heavy. Like I want to get it done like before my nephew is a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and I want him to read it. Like
kind of what not to do.
Yeah, it's just a guy. It's your idiot uncle's guide to not being a total wreck like he is.
Yeah, exactly. That's like my biggest goal with my kids. It's like I want them to be a happier, less traumatized version of me. And if I can make that happen, then I've succeeded.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to be millionaires. They don't have to do anything other than be happy and not have trauma. And I feel like I've succeeded.
Well, and my biggest thing, especially, like, I see it in my own life. And, like, thankfully, like, I guess it just comes with time and a little bit of wisdom. But, like, I have made, like, mistakes not just once, not twice, not thrice, but
yeah,
over and over. Like I keep making the same mistakes, and then like I'm finally able to identify as like, this gets you every stinking time. Either yeah, do not put yourself in that situation or quit being around that type of person.
Yeah, I think that's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different yeah, outcome. And I'm so guilty
we
of
are
it. God, so guilty.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm just going to do, like, this again, because I haven't done this in a while. And, like, maybe it's going to work out this time.
It's going to be
fun. It's going to be fun.
I've grown.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's, like, six months later, yeah, it's, like...
Maybe I shouldn't do it right the last time.
Yeah.
No. Same terrible mistake. Still a bad idea. They are still a bad idea. Don't talk to them.
So, and I'm also... We get it on this platform, too. Like, we talk about it. And I can't wait to hear, like, midwife crisis. It's like... Describe it again for just everybody listening.
So, midwife crisis is kind of our take on a midlife crisis. It's a slang term in Urban Dictionary where it's like a wife just kind of snaps. And we're both moms in our 30s. She is divorced and remarried. I am married as a second wife into a blended family. And it's just, we grew up together, my co-host Ashley Wolf, shout out, love you. And we just talk about what it's like to be working professionals who are married, trying to be everything to everyone and failing miserably most of the time, but getting by, and just our thoughts on different topics and areas, kind of like this, but probably a more female
perspective.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And like just this stage in life where you're just literally trying to figure it out. And like we've talked about, seems like several people we know, you know, y'all have talked about on A Man Up, are having like these quarter life crises.
That is like the last 2 months is like I have identified like so many quarter life crises,
yes,
with people that I know. And I was like, I think that, I don't know if that's a new thing or if it's always been this way, but like I think, like, when people are coming out, like, let's say, I think it happens anywhere from, like, 27 to 40.
Well, think about it. We're coming out of the pandemic where you had to do a lot of self-reflection, and a lot of people lost their jobs or had to redefine their jobs or their roles. We're coming out... Social media just intensifies everything, speeds everything up. So between technology, a global pandemic that's never happened, we're a generation of school shooters, we're a generation of war, 9/11 happened for our people. Like, we're a traumatic generation.
Yeah.
And so I think it just speeds it up. Yeah. Like, Pearl High School was...
Like, we're in our second housing and market crash.
Yeah. Like, and with talking about, like, shooting, Pearl High School was one of the first school shootings.
Wes actually said that.
Before Columbine. That's the town next to mine. Mm-hmm. I remember having to go and look at private schools, Jackson Academy, Jackson Prep, after that shooting. My cousins went to that school. They just happened to be late that day. Like, I remember that trauma. And then you remember exactly where you were when 9/11 happened. Yeah. Like, it's just, it was trauma after trauma. And then... Now, all of a sudden, we're thrown... I was 17 when social media started. Well, I'm not counting MySpace, but, like, Facebook, when it really blew up.
I wish we would count MySpace.
MySpace was...
What was your
jam.
Theme song?
I don't even remember. Like, I was... God, I was like,
what would it be now?
Oh, God. Probably Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac.
Hell, yeah.
God, something like that. Something just angsty and, like... moody. The way she looks at him so disrespectfully and makes him sing about cheating on her is just
Jeez.
You don't get that level of pettiness that easy. And she eats and she leaves no crumbs. Like, she tears it up. And I love it. She's like, guess what? You're going to do this. You're going to sing this song.
Mine, it changes, but I think mine is How You Like Me Now by The Heavy.
Yeah.
How you like me? Yeah. I'm glad you know that song. A lot of people don't.
Definitely. Yeah.
That song bangs.
Yeah. But my musical tastes are so eclectic that who knows, like, what it would be from a day-to-day basis. I post a lot. Like, half the time my stories or whatever song is, like, on me right at the moment.
Good follow, by the way. Like, I like the content. I don't interact with it as much because I don't want to be kind of weird, but I might start.
I interact with your content all the time.
I know. I'm a share the space here.
I'm a much better fan than you are.
I got a fanboy up.
I know.
I was hoping to get more of a hit with... I thought about that Dalmatian thing for like 2 hours before I posted it. And when's the last time you saw a Dalmatian?
Okay. Literally was just talking about this because one of my best friends has a Dalmatian. I've never seen one in person.
I haven't either.
So, like, if she didn't have one, I wouldn't really believe that they exist. And I've never actually seen her dog.
And why is it the mascot of a fire station?
Why? Like, that makes no sense. Why is it not, like, a lab or, like, it's like a service-type dog? Like, something that's, like, eager to please? Like, how did that happen? But, no, I've never seen one in person. And I feel some type of way about it because...
I do, too.
Where are they hiding?
101 Dalmatians. If I go to Disney World... Is there 101 Dalmatians?
I don't think there's 101 Dalmatians in the country.
I don't think there's 101 Dalmatians, period. I think it's a myth.
Exactly.
And I'm calling that Imagineers. Hit me up.
Yeah, this is a total conspiracy theory that no one's talking about.
This is my favorite one now.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Imagineers, if you're out there and you're like, they do in fact exist, you send me a picture, I have to put my eyes on it, and I want to pet it and tell it it's a good boy.
Yes, I have to see this dog. Shout out to Talon, my friend Juliana's dog. I've never seen him. I've only seen photos of him. And I did a photo of him as a present for her for Christmas. I painted a picture of him. But I've never
seen
him.
You painted a picture of a dog that may not even exist.
That's true. Like, what kind of jerk does that make
me? You were AI before AI.
Yes. But I was paid to do it, so I don't care.
There you go.
Roll me my money. I'll paint a picture of that flower. You're a good painter. When I say painted, I do digital. I can paint. I do physical paintings. But the ones I usually sell are digital paintings that I do, like, on my iPad. And so I do digital portraits of, like, people or animals and then sell those. They print them and frame them.
That's sick.
It's fun.
I've done this a couple of times, and I love it. And I'm going to do it again as soon as the opportunity presents itself to me. I've done two different podcasts with two different artists,
mm-hmm.
and while we were conducting the conversation, they were drawing me.
That's legit.
And it was, like, so fun, like, just seeing it just come to life right in mm-hmm. front of you. Then you get done, and, like, it's great Mother's Day gifts.
See, and I...
Because I'm not the type, like, to... At my work desk, I have a picture of me. I'm not that guy.
Just, like, beaming that picture that you have with the cat, just, like, looking off to the side, a very, like, Olin Mills portrait, just you and the cat.
Yeah.
That would be legit. You should do that. You should do that.
I do have some goofy
You should
things.
Have nothing but pictures of yourself. In various states at your desk so that when people walk by they can be like, what's Alan's life about? That this is
obviously him.
Yeah, like this is what he's got. Like bow ties and like short button up shirts and stuff. Like that's gold.
A pocket protector.
Yes, like all the things, like different themes. I think you should do it. But like y'all, like when y'all get distracted by the chat on Man Up and y'all all freeze.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was drawing like doing art while talking, if I would freeze up when I was concentrating or if it would help me, because in meetings and stuff I'm always doodling. At church, if I'm not taking notes, I wander in my mind. So I don't know if I need to doodle and stuff to listen and I can interact, or if I would freeze up like y'all do watching the chat. I don't know. So I guess I would have to try it.
Yeah, that's a discipline. And I've the few Porch Talk Lives that I've done,
mm-hmm.
whether, like, we used to do Facebook Live, mm-hmm. and now we have the YouTube, the where we can do YouTube Live now. And I don't have a mow, and so
we all need a mow. Shout out mow.
Yeah, and if I had like a chat that was that interactive on Porch Talk, and I'm running the sound, I'm hosting, and I'm keeping my eyes on the video.
Mm-hmm.
There would need to be another host. I would become the producer, and I would be the guy just watching everything.
I would be the meanest producer. I would yell at y'all so much. I would spray y'all like cats when y'all said stuff y'all shouldn't. Like, Mo's so sweet, bless his heart, because I would be out there like, don't say that. Don't say that. Like, I would give, like, y'all know what y'all need? Like those buzzers or shockers, and y'all are sitting there and y'all are waiting on it. And so, like, when something happens, I get to buzz you, and I'll be, oops, sorry, Wes, that wasn't for you. And it was for Alan. It was for Tyler. And that would be awesome. That would add a little element to it.
I am glad that Tyler and I weren't there this past time.
It was good.
Because I went back and listened to it, and the one guy that I had been wanting to shine.
Me too.
Shined.
I know. Short shout King. Out Wes. Shout out Wes. Killing the game out here. Finally getting to talk and not fight for air.
I've went back and listened. I mean, in like Porch Talk episodes, like I do so much listening to it like in post production. I don't listen to my own podcast when it's live. Like, one, I think that's weird. But Man Up's a little bit different, because like when I go back and listen to that, I'm trying to listen to the dynamics, and like I think I'm most guilty of cutting Wes off when I go back and listen. Like, every time he's about to speak or he starts, here I come.
It's usually you and Jake fighting to cut each other off. Like, you're about to say something and Jake cuts you off. Or Tyler says something out of left field. I feel like everybody cuts Wes off. I don't know. I haven't noticed that you're supremely guilty of it. But it is Wes that gets cut off the most. Second, you. Probably. Nobody cuts Jake off, really, but...
I never, like, that's one thing. I think it's funny. I never get to finish any point that I'm trying to make.
God, no. No. And you're just sitting there like, and I'm like, God bless, guys. Come on.
I was on a roll.
Yeah. But I do love it when y'all get each other stirred up, especially when I can tell that you are being ridiculous. And Jake's like, no, but are you serious? And you're like, sure. I mean, I don't know. Am I? And you were like wearing sunglasses or something. He's like, okay, but the way you're saying it makes it seem like you're joking, but you're acting like you're serious. I get real tickled at that.
I love that's my favorite bit.
It's good.
And that is one thing, like, I've learned not only through Porch Talk, but it is easier to be a fan of a show, in my opinion, when you know who's always on it. Like, when it's...
Yes.
Like, take Midwife Crisis, and Ashley. Now, granted, like, every now and then, we got a third chair for somebody.
Right.
Which is cool.
Right.
It kind of changes up the dynamic. It makes it fresh again. And... But, like, with Porch Talk is, like, my biggest draw is, like, you might be a fan of who I'm talking to. It's very possible that you don't even know who I am.
Right. Right. That's true. I think your brand, though, I mean, it kind of, it's a revolving door for people. And so what I did was I went through and I listened to the people I knew. So I listened to all of Jake's episodes, and then I listened to all of Man Up's episodes. And then the Del Rendon Foundation, shout out to Del Rendon Foundation, and then asked you, what do you recommend? And then started from there, because I didn't have time to do what I normally do, and that start from the OG, number one.
I got a big catalog, too.
I like to go to the start
and
start from there, because I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah.
Like, if I become a fan, I become a fan.
Yeah. I can always tell when that happens, too. Like, shout out to those cats. It's like, someone picks up, like, maybe they like the guest that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And then a month later, I see, like, a huge spike in the download. It's like, somebody just downloaded the entire catalog.
Yes.
Thanks, you know.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. Helps me out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do. I'm not one of those people who can, like, somebody tells me about a show and I can start in season 3, episode 2. Back the heck up. Pump the brakes, because your girl is starting from season one, ep one, and if you spoil it, I probably will stop being friends with you. I'm that serious about it. Yeah. Like, it becomes an obsession, and it used to be to the point where I would finish it regardless if I hated it. Like, I'd be yelling at the TV the whole time, like, I hope she dies, I hate this show, I don't know why I'm still watching it, but now I'll just stop watching. And that was a big turning point for me in my TV watching, like, book reading. Like, I never could have not finished a book, like, a few years ago. Now, if I'm not into it, cut it. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too, is, like, I think being tailor-made to, like, the types of discussions, like, it goes back to the types of people that you have on the show, whether it's, you know, it's just you and Ashley, mm-hmm. every now and then in the third chair. And whether it's like we meet once a week, of you know the subject matter. Here's mm-hmm. here's what went down, or here's what we're going to talk about. Easy to build that fan base, but like when you have a revolving door, and
it's got to be tough.
It is tough.
Yeah, because I don't necessarily care about Jim Davis, the guitar player of the Bricks, I'm just looking around at random things right now,
right.
who lives in Milwaukee.
Right.
But I like you, and I know you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I got started watching Man Up. I knew Jake, I kind of knew Tyler and Wes, so I started watching it. And that's why I stay, I'm somebody that's like loyal to a fault. And so if I like mm-hmm. you, I don't care about the random guest usually. I'm going to just want to support you. And I'll find the funny in just about anything.
Yeah, and that's one thing. I don't remember who I was talking to. It may have been another podcaster. I can't remember. But we were talking about, like, brand building.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one thing, like, and I think I nailed it with this year. Like, I wanted to up the caliber of what Porch Talk was. And when you think about brand and brand recognition, it's like, if I'm the host and I'm the only one that is always on this mm-hmm. program with a revolving door of different people from all over the world,
mm-hmm.
I've got to work on me, and I've got to be a whole lot more.
Got to be dynamic yep. and charismatic, because I'm carrying the fan base, really.
Yeah, it's like you said. I mean, like, you think Joe Rogan. I mean, it's the same thing. It's yeah. like one-on-one with, it's celebrity mode. Mm-hmm. But
like when you left the other day, I said, you didn't ask me one single question that I thought you were going to. And you said, look, sometimes I've got to ask those questions that you were thought I was going to ask, because the person isn't ready. They need a push. You didn't need a push. And I was like, but dude, I was ready for those questions. I wasn't ready for what we talked about.
Yeah.
And so I think that also comes with it, is being able to take when someone's giving you nothing and pull something out of it, which I think you've done a great job of.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I've told of, like, a friend of mine was considering, like, starting a podcast very similar to this, is like, anything that you've learned over the almost 5 years you've been doing this now. And I was like, I'm not saying that 18 to 25 year olds don't have anything to bring to the table. I'm just saying that their story is a little bit shorter, and their experiences is not as much. Like, I will interview people like that, but I'm also under the anticipation that it's only going to probably be about 15 minutes at best, and I'm probably going to do most of the talking.
We've got two guests on our podcast today to make it an hour long. It is Randy Taylor, 22-year-old drummer from The Columns. And in 30 minutes, it will be Bob Tyler from The Trees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the two people episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You can get two in one. Twofers.
Yeah. And then, like, I've been called by venues or people who are throwing festivals, like, we're going to give you a press pass. We want you to interview any and every band that wants to be interviewed, like, just to uplift this festival, and mm-hmm. like, next year maybe we'll have more success. And I love doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But also, it's shotgun, because, like, I'm sitting at the green room at this establishment, and first band I just interviewed just stepped on stage, I'm with the second band, and we're doing like 15 to 20 minute interviews, and like, yeah, I am asking like practically the same questions, mm-hmm. but totally different people from total different area, total different experience. And that was one thing, like, early, like, people were critiquing. It's like, man, you're like, when you're talking to these people, you're asking the same questions. And I was like, well, think about it. These are the things that I personally want to know about.
They also have different answers.
Their lived experience, and they have different answers. And it was like, it's helping me not only with my songwriting, mm-hmm. my craft, but, like, it's helping me better understand, like, the world through their eyes. And then I know how to better approach them. Like, all those questions you thought I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Didn't need to.
You could ask both of us, just both of us, 100 questions. I guarantee you we're not going to answer any of them the same.
No.
So that's kind of a ridiculous critique. Kind of you sitting at the back kind of reminds me of the kid from Almost Famous. Like, him just, like, trying to get these people to interview.
Yeah.
But they're being such musicians and, like, just wanting to hang out and party with him and calling him the enemy and everything. Like, I can kind of picture that in my head. You just hanging out and wanting to be everybody's good time guy, but still being like, hey, we kind of need to talk
about
this.
We got to get the word.
Yeah, we got to also do this.
Yeah, and, dude, I'm telling you, like, this is... with every creative, and I mean, that's primarily what this show is. Every stereotype about a musician or artist, true.
Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely true.
Or they're trying to make it true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, oh, I'm not this, but this is what musicians are. So, therefore, it probably doubles down on the stereotype and makes it, like, doubly so.
So, it's like, okay, like, there's one band out in California I've been trying to interview for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
We'll set up a time. Now we're doing East Coast, West Coast baseball with timing.
Mm-hmm.
3 hour time difference, 2 hour time difference. And the day of, and this is another reason, like, I like doing episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. If I have more, I might give you a Wednesday, I might give you a Friday, I might give you a Saturday episode. But I want, like, Tuesday, Thursday are my days.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if we scheduled Monday night to do an interview,
mm-hmm.
and you cancel, now I've got to call Lauren, or I've got to call John or Jake or
Kyle
somebody.
Or somebody.
Like, somebody. Like, we have to get on the horn now.
Because that's your day.
Yeah.
Like, I wasted my day on you.
Yeah.
So you're screwing me.
Yeah,
because, like, if you have regulars, they're regulars.
Yeah, and at the same time, is, like, I'm not mad. Like, and, you know, they're apologizing. Of course, I mean,
but,
like,
you lose relevancy if you don't post on those days.
You have to, like, when you pick your times, you have to go.
Fall out of the algorithm.
Yep. That's just it. And it hurts.
I'm sure. And I don't know anything about it yet. This is just my armchair expert opinion. But I can see, knowing what I do about the marketing side of things and that being, like, you know, design and marketing being my actual job, I can see where if you are not staying consistent and relevant, that all it does is hurt you.
Mm-hmm. And, I have a friend. She works in marketing. Shout out to you, Barb. She has offered me time and time and time again. She's like, I will do your social media and all of your marketing and branding, and I'll do it at a friend price.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I was like, no, because, like, maybe one day I would love to step completely away from social media, but, like, I do not think that you have the tack or, like, the way of words. Like, if someone else started running, like, Porch Talk Media,
it would be obvious.
It would be very obvious, because, like, I misspell words on purpose.
Mm-hmm. And you say offhand stuff. I mean, like, off-the-wall things, because that's part of your brand.
Yeah. Like, and that's what I told her. I was like, there is no doubt that you're better at marketing and branding than I am, because that is what you do. But I was like, what I do in itself is a brand.
It'd be like hiring ChatGPT to do it.
Yeah.
Because you could get ChatGPT to do it right now, mm-hmm. for free. But it wouldn't be Alan, and it would be very obvious.
And you'll see, like, the lulls. And, like, this is another thing about social media. It's like, I like posting ridiculous things on my personal, but, like, and then I try to stay somewhat professional on Porch Talk.
Mm-hmm.
But I do enjoy running both accounts.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I'm not a doom scroller on social media. I'll get on there, post what I got to say. I might scroll a little bit to see what my friends are up to, and I'm off. But, like, these people who are, like, spending, like, a whole workday on social media? God, you have got to be mentally ill.
The only one that I could die in, like live and die in, is TikTok. And that's because it is a literal dopamine hit every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's what it's designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, like 2 hours has gone by and you're like, oh my God. And you like make this bargain with yourself. You're like, okay, I'm just going to wait until I see like a really funny one and then I'm going to stop. And then you get to that really fun where you're like, okay, I'm going to put the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it's...
And even, like, with Facebook and Instagram, with their Reels,
mm-hmm.
and then even, like, when YouTube implemented Shorts,
mm-hmm.
they're all trying to get into that niche market.
Oh, yeah.
Of you doom scrolling.
Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, China this, China that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care. What you don't understand is the doctor can't give me a drug strong enough as TikTok for me right now. It is making me happy. It is giving me dopamine. I'm not doing drugs. I could be a crackhead and a prostitute. You're lucky, Dad. You're lucky that China has my information right now.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I do not have that app. And like a lot of my friends are like send me like in, you know, DMs
mm-hmm.
or text messages, a TikTok, and I'll write them back. It's like, I don't have that app. And it was like, well, you don't want China having your information. I was like, it's not that. It's like, I'm looking out for my personal.
Like, you know yourself. You
yeah.
know that you're
an addictive
personality.
I know I don't need that. So,
he's got to get around you to go get our kid.
The keys are in it. Yeah.
Shout out to Bo Button, my husband, everyone. He's got to go get our precious angel from hip hop class. So, he's
nice.
Moving Alan's truck.
Hip hop class.
Oh, yeah. My girl can do it. She does all the things. And there goes my cat again. We do hip-hop. My husband's ex-wife, Kristen Budlove, she owns the Warehouse Dance Studio. Shout out, Kristen. Her and her husband, Aaron, run it. And my oldest daughter, their daughter together, is a competitive dancer. She's amazing. And my youngest daughter does, too. We are a modern, blended family, and we tear it up together. It's awesome.
Good for y'all.
Yeah, because it could be so much worse.
Absolutely.
God bless. They are the hippie versions of us, and I am fine with that.
I like, I'm glad you jumped in on it. I love doing this to hippies. And there's already a song called this. I wouldn't call it the same thing, but my buddy Abe Partridge has a song called Get Behind Me, Hippie.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to write a song of my disdain for hippies.
You have a disdain for hippies? You're like kind of a hippie yourself.
Ain't that wild?
Yes, you're like a porch hippie. You're not like a dirty one, but you're definitely like, you're like a hipster hippie.
I remember living on the Gulf Coast, and there was like a widespread or like a panic, or well, that's the same thing, or fish or... One of those things, it was coming to town, and I remember, like, you know, they travel in roves.
Oh, God.
And I don't
yeah.
know what these people do for money. They just, I don't know why,
it's
how
like
they.
Cruise people. Uh-huh. They just, like, yeah, like some people, like, live on cruises all year, and it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, how do you have this money to follow tours? Oh, yeah. There he goes on the golf cart to get my kid. Yeah.
Oh, is that close?
I mean, it's at Brickerton.
Nice.
Yeah. That's the life we live.
Oh. But yeah, it's like they came in their troves, they trashed the entire city, it smelled like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And then they just left. And then like
perpetual New Orleans.
And I am a civil servant. That's what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not imagine like what these city workers like, oh great, that they're coming to town.
Oh God,
they're
yeah.
Gonna
like you
trash in the whole
immediately.
City. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like going to New Orleans, but like that, it being like that sporadically. Like in New Orleans, I feel like, you know, it's going to suck all the time. But like if you live like somewhere like semi-decent, like every time these people come to town, you're like, God. And so, yeah, does it bring in good tax dollars and local revenue? Sure. But is it just like a cesspool of disgusting people?
Absolutely.
Absolutely it is.
On top of that. Is I am so happy that I don't live in a tourist trap.
Ugh, same.
Because I used to.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we called them snowbirds when we were on the Gulf Coast. It's all, like, you know, Michigan and, like, all the northern states coming down for the winter.
All the Yankees.
Yeah, and like, yeah, everything you said, it's good for business, mm-hmm. the economy, and all this, but golly, you calm down, you just totally disrespect not only the culture, but like everything that we have jiving.
Yes. And like, it's just, you don't give off the same vibe at all. And you don't understand why we don't like your vibe. And we don't understand why you don't like our vibe. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, just friction.
Mm-hmm.
And it just stays friction. Because we just don't mesh. Because we don't have the same values, essentially.
That's just it. And like, that is one thing that is insane to me. I've been blessed enough to have been able to travel to different countries, only in this hemisphere, a lot in Central and South America, and it is a lot different. And like, these people from these countries, they carry a certain connotation when it comes to Americans,
mm-hmm.
and it's so weird living in the United States, state to state,
mm-hmm.
like. Just think where we are, the twin state,
mm-hmm.
Alabama, Mississippi. We love to dog each other.
Love it.
And like, what's crazy is like, we're
49 and 50. We compete.
Yeah. Not only do we mirror each other on a map, the way that we look, like anytime a Mississippian gives me crap for being Alabamian, it's like, we are literally the same.
Yes. You beat us this year as number 50 in the worst states. And, you know, we'll be 49 next year. Like, we tag team for 49 and 50 constantly. And, yeah, we love
in the worst possible things.
Oh, yeah. Like, we're number one in STDs. We're number one in obesity. We're number one
education.
We're last in education. Like, welcome to the South.
Yeah.
Welcome. You will have great food.
Yeah.
You can listen to great music. We're not going to teach your kids a lot of things, and you will probably leave with an STD, but welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to our world. You will leave fatter.
And that is another thing that I like talking, like, latest guest, Nooski, out of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Is
Dak Shepherd's twin.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I thought that was a very funny comment that you had.
It was eerie.
Yeah.
It was so eerie. Like, watching him, having watched Dak Shepherd's, like, podcast and everything.
I'm a huge fan of his,
listening to him. So am I. It was just like, I was like, ooh, this is weird. It's like he had a brother that I don't know about. It was very strange.
Yeah. And, like, anytime, like, I get a guest from Canada or, mm-hmm. like, or I had a UK guest. It's so weird because, like, and I like asking people at the end of it. It's like, what was your favorite part of the conversation? Many times it's like, love your accent.
Oh, God. Here we go. Yeah. Every time. One time we were in Puerto Rico. I traveled with my family a lot growing up because my dad would win trips at, like, if he did well in whatever.
Oh, the 51st state. Shout out.
He was doing. So we went down there and we were kayaking at night with the phytoplankton, which, by the way, is amazing. They're bioluminescent. And so, like, if you would put your hand in the water, it would glow and it was awesome. But I was with these two Australian girls, and they were like, have you ever seen King of the Hill? And that was a terrible Australian accent.
It passes.
I feel like it was more British. Anyway, and I was like, yeah.
Well, they're of the Commonwealth.
Like, you just like, that's so British. Now I can't even do, like, now I can't even think about what it sounds like. They were like,
okay,
you sound just like King of the Hill. And I was like, that is not a compliment.
Yeah.
That is not what you tell people, but they loved it. They ate it up.
Yeah, it's like, King of the Hill, love it, love the accent. It was like, you understand, like, that show was made to make fun of me?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how they thought in their minds that that was a good thing. I was like, thank you.
I put another shrimp on the Barbie. I'm sorry, and true story, I'm not going to quote it because they do get offended by that, with the dingo eating the baby.
Yes. Such a big deal.
Yeah.
It was like the biggest deal ever.
To this day.
Yes. I saw something recently. I think a Margot Robbie interview or something. She was like, no, that's honestly still a really big deal.
Yeah.
And she also said, which I thought was the funniest thing, they were like, what were you most excited about in the States? And she was like, Red Solo Cups. And they were like, what? And she said, Red Solo Cups. She said, when I got here, every movie I had seen, all the parties had Red Solo Cups. And she said, and when you get here, it's real. Like, it's an actual thing. She said she packs suitcase. You can't get them there. She said she packs suitcases full of red Solo cups to take home, and her friends are like jazzed. They're like, yes, let's have a party with the red Solo cups. It's the most bizarre thing that they get excited about.
Wow.
I know, right? I mean, I can send you red Solo cups, Margot Robbie. Be my friend.
Definitely could. I didn't know she was Australian.
Yeah.
That's new on me.
Well, it's because she's always got an American accent in movies, really.
Shout out to, I can't think of his name, but the new Spider-Man. He's British, but he pulls off as red American.
Oh, Tom Holland, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to him.
He's great. He's probably, and I don't even like.
I think he's a star, man.
He's the best one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He was in a movie.
And his girlfriend.
Zendaya.
Yeah, she's great.
Yes, she is. And she's so talented. She's in a show called Euphoria.
Beautiful woman, too.
She can sing, she can act, she tears it up. But he was in a movie, it was a true story, called The Impossible, and it's about the tsunami that hit, I forgot where it hit, but it was like a resort, and it was about this family that when the tsunami hit, they got separated. And they had to, no one knew who was alive and who was dead. Like, the dad was with, I don't want to spoil anything, but anyway, he was in it, and it's so visceral. Like, some of the scenes where they're getting, like, where they're pulled underwater and things are hitting them, like limbs and metal, and it's cutting them, and it's showing all of it. It's such a good movie, and he did such a good job in it, because he was the oldest boy, and he was having to be, like, the go-between to try and, like, see if the family was still alive. It was such a good movie. Like, it's hard to watch.
I think I know the film you're talking about, but I can't think of the name.
The Impossible.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. I have seen that. Yeah, good.
He's a super good actor.
We are at the hour and a half mark. Lauren, I want to cut it right here. We can do another episode if you want to.
It's good.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you haven't done so, please rate, review, subscribe. Word of mouth is king. Tell people about Porch Talk. And Lauren, before we go, if you will plug the socials for Midwife Crisis.
So,
pump it up.
We are on Facebook at just Midwife Crisis, and Instagram, we are at Midwife Crisis Pod. And I think that's all we've got right now. I need to do better. No, Midwife Crisis Podcast on Instagram. So, just if you look up Midwife Crisis, you should be able to find us.
Right on.
Basically.
Lauren and I really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll do round two. See y'all. Y'all take care.
See ya.
One, two, three. I wake up, the sun's still down, can't see around the room. Got a big old mess around the house, don't know what to do. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. Car won't start, my dog got sick, got two leaks on the roof. Got a past due bill from the termite folks, a chip on my front tooth. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. I get down when baby's got the blues. Yeah, I get down, don't know what to do. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the like shit, but it'll have to do. So I got drunk and I passed out with all my clothes on too. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. I fell down, hit my head, scuffed up my new shoes, ripped my jeans down the back, the only ones that fit right too. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. Yeah, I get down when baby's got the blues. I get down and don't know what to do. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues. Yeah, nothing's right when baby's got the blues.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.